Good morning. Sorry, I'm getting distracted by Sean up here. He's trying to send stuff to my computer to be funny while I'm preaching today. Funny guy. Well, my name is Mike. I'm a pastor here at Home Church. I'm really thankful for the opportunity to talk to you guys today as we continue our series on Sabbath. If you've been with us the last 4 weeks, we've really been diving into kind of what Sabbath looks like, and as followers of Jesus, as apprentices of Jesus, we want to model our life to look like Jesus's looked. And so obviously we know what Jesus said, and we want to follow the words of Jesus, follow the words of Scripture, but we also want to model our life to the rhythms of life that Jesus had. And so these last 4 weeks, we've been looking at one of those rhythms, one of those practices of Sabbath, of just this way to kind of, what we've said the last 4 weeks, to stop, to rest, to delight and worship God on a day that is all we're focused on are just those things. And it's tough to do, and we've looked at different ways to do it, and we've looked at different ways of why it's so difficult. Larry likes to say this, what would Jesus do if he was me, right? So like if right now, if Jesus was to come back and to tell you how you should Sabbath, it might look different than his. Jesus wasn't married. Jesus didn't have a job. You know what I mean? Like there's lots of stuff. So things would look different now if Jesus was here and if he was you. And so that's what we've really been looking at these last 4 weeks. So we've gotten a lot of feedback, and the feedback has been really amazing from folks of trying it, like how just trying Sabbath out. It's such a foreign concept to so many of us that we've heard the word Sabbath, and when you think of the word Sabbath, most of us just think of like taking a nap, right, or just like sleeping. But we really have just dove into it a lot these last 4 weeks, and it's just been great to see all the different things that we can encounter through Sabbath and how it's so much more than just taking a nap or plopping down on the couch and watching the Cowboys lose. You know what I mean? Like it's so much better than that. And so some of the feedback we've gotten, and I think that I felt this too, and if you're like me, and I'll tell you a little about me in a second, is, and we heard from Larry and kind of what he's doing for his Sabbath. Larry is 62 years old and has no kids in his house, just a wife. So it's a little, I don't want to say easier, it's a little different for Larry than it is for, say, if you've got kids in your house. Or if you're, Larry has he's a crazy job, he has the craziest job of all time, but there's some flexibility in it where he can create space if he needs to for this. So some people it's harder to do. And so for me, I wanted to come up here today and talk to you guys kind of just I guess you could say like in a practical spiritual way of what my family has been doing. We've started practicing here in 2025. I've been studying it for about a year and practicing it for almost a year. It's been a struggle. I want to start right off the bat just to end the guilt of everyone. We cannot do 24 hours yet. Like we are not there. Like a full Sabbath day is not happening. One day I will do 24 hours of Sabbath. That day is not today. I am not quite there yet with Sabbath, so let's remove some of that or any false, like, wow, look at this guy. We're going to remove all of that over these next couple of weeks. So I want to talk to you guys about practically, spiritually, what we do to help us, right? If we're trying to stop, if we're trying to rest and delight and worship in God, some things that have helped me and helped my family along the way. So I put together kind of what I wanted to talk to you guys about, and it was so much stuff. So this is actually going to be 2 weeks that we're going to dive into this. And so I want to tell you a little about myself first so you know who I am. My name is Mike. I'm 40. Am I 43? Oh, what year does it happen when you stop forgetting how old you are? I guess it's 43. I'm somewhere. I'm in the 40s. I'm in there. I am married. We will be to Jen. We are celebrating 20 years of marriage here in December, which is super cool. Yeah. I know. We're surprised too. We have 3 kids. We have a senior in high school boy. We have a 6th grader girl, and we have a 1st grader girl. That wasn't on purpose. but it is what it is. The good news is I'll have a child living in my house for about 30 consecutive years. So that's how we like to look at that. But I love my family. I love my kids. We have a lot going on. I am a sports guy. And I can talk to you a long time about sports. I love sports. I think sports are really important. I think they're really important for kids, and we keep our kids very active. I think great things happen in sports. I'm not going to dive into all that, but we do lots of sports. Right now in my house, sadly, our senior just ended his senior year of football season losing in the playoffs. Friday at San Antonio Christian is where he's at. They lost. They lost Friday. Saturday at 10 a.m., he was back at school for basketball. So went from that transition from one to the next. I have an 11-year-old who is a water polo player. And she, yeah, I know, weird, right? It's a thing. She's really good at it. She does that. She does choir. She also is kind of a little soccer baller, and she gets invited to play on different teams when they need people to fill in. We do that. I have a six-year-old who is in gymnastics right now and currently in the playoffs for 5-6-year-old flag football, which I'm coaching, and I just want to let you know that today the Vikings will be without a coach because I'm preaching to you, so I hope you're happy. She does that. We have lots of things going on. We have lots of stuff going on in our house. So when I talk to you today, I want to tell you that for you to understand where I'm coming from when we talk about Sabbath. I realize this is not just a cool, block out 24 hours, devote it to communion with God. It's very difficult to do because we have just trained ourselves to be so busy all of the time that whenever we try to stop and rest and delight in worship, it almost feels like we're doing something wrong. Like we should be doing something else. Like we should be practicing something or fixing something or working on something. It's how we're trained. It's how the world has trained us to feel. But as we dive into scripture and we study the life of Jesus, we see that Jesus incorporated a Sabbath in his life. And I say this every time I talk about Sabbath. Jesus had about 3 years to do everything that you have ever heard about Jesus doing happened in 3 years. A seventh of those were off on Sabbath. So we're busy, but are we busier than Jesus? I think is the thing that we have to kind of ask ourselves, and that's kind of convicting. Didn't know it was going to be a convicting message, right? So like we have to ask ourselves that, like are we busier than Jesus? And if we say like we kind of are, but we don't want to be, let's talk about different strategies we can put in place, right? These different practices to help us look more like Jesus, to be an apprentice of Jesus with the ultimate goal of being in communion with God. That's what we're after, right? Like I don't want to get back to the hula hoops up here or anything like that, but like we had God space and man space was one space. At some point, man had free will, remember that? And we chose to go away from God. So we separated from God, and God has worked really hard to get those worlds back together. And we tried and we failed and we tried and he failed. Then he sent Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to God is through Jesus. But through Jesus, that those circles, right? Those you guys can think of the circles in your head, right? Like those two worlds are starting to come together through Jesus, and we start to experience this perfect space of God's space and man's space here on earth through Jesus and through these little samples of the kingdom that we see. That's what we're after, because we know that one day those worlds will be united again when Jesus comes back, and there won't be any fear or anger or busy or hurry or stress or death or sickness or decay or corruption. Those things will all be gone. But what we don't want to do as followers of Jesus is say, that day is coming, I'm going to sit and just wait for that to happen, and I'm going to live my life without God being a part of that whatsoever, and someday I'll be dead and with Jesus. We don't want to live that way. We want to be a part of what God is doing here on earth in order to have these samples of the kingdom here on earth, in order to have these little tidbits of those two worlds overlapping, of God's space and man's space overlapping. So we have these strategies to do this. Sabbath is one of these strategies. Sabbath is not the end goal. It is a means to the end goal of communion with God. Does that make sense? If you disagree on how you do Sabbath or shouldn't do Sabbath, it does. I don't care. I'm just giving you a strategy, right, that Jesus followed, and we're trying to be like Jesus as apprentices. We're trying to walk in his footsteps. So if we know he practiced Sabbath, we know that was a strategy that Jesus had in order to remain in communion with God, and we know that Jesus was in constant communion with God. Are you tracking with me? Okay, good. So Sabbath, right? So what is Sabbath? So let's give you just a basic definition of this, right? Based off what we said these last 4 weeks, this is a day to intentionally stop and rest and delight and worship our Creator while we detach from the chaos and we allow God to delight in us as we delight in Him and try to find this communion with God. That's all it is. Right? That's all it is. There's different ways to do that, and we'll talk about these over the next couple weeks, but that's what we're trying to do, is just say, adios world, adios phone, adios work, adios stress, adios yard stuff, adios dishes, adios laundry, all of those things. We're just focusing today on communion with God. That's all we care about. And that's why we do it, because we want to be in total communion with God. right? I mean, it's a commandment. I like to say it's the commandment we like to pretend doesn't exist, because it's in there. It's one of the 10. The other 9, it seems like we're tracking with, like, probably shouldn't do those or should do those. Sabbath, we're like, I think Jesus said somewhere you didn't have to keep the Sabbath. I'm not sure what he said or what he meant, but I'm going to go with that. So Sabbath is one we like to ignore, and it is a commandment, and it was practiced by Jesus, and we're trying to look like Jesus, and we're trying to model what Jesus did. So Sabbath is one of those things we want to try to do. But again, most importantly, and I cannot stress this enough, I need this to sink into your head, it is not the end. It is a means to the end. And the end is communion with God. That is what we're after through Christ Jesus when we Sabbath. Got me? Got it? We're good? Okay, cool. So what I want to do today is just practically look spiritually at a few things that I hope will help you if you say, cool, I got it. We want to stop. Right? We want to rest, we want to delight, and we want to worship God. I'm having some issues with that. What are some things that can kind of, almost like a sub-tactic to the tactic of stop, rest, delight, and worship, right? So that's a tactic. Those are tactics. This is like a sub-tactic. Right? I learned this from Don Colmenares. He taught me how to strategic plan. This is working great for this, Don. Thank you for this. All right. So again, we're going to get going on this. Do not make this legalistic. Do not make, if we do it this way, then we go to heaven. If we don't do this way, we do not go to heaven. Do not make it, if we do it this way, God is happy. If we do not do this way, God is mad. That's not what we're doing. We're simply looking at ways to help us stop, rest, delight, and worship. Nod your head if you're with me. Some of you, I can keep talking? No, you don't want that. Okay, so I'm going to give you 3 things today. I don't usually do bullet points, but it's really helped me today. You're going to hear these 3 things, and you've heard these things before. Right? Because it's the mission statement of our church, which is to find the Father, experience the kingdom, and look more like Jesus every day. We're after total communion. We believe, as a body of Christ, these are great things to help keep us on track with that. We're going to take out the everyday part for the sake of the message today and just focus on one day, and that's Sabbath. So if we start off with the first thing here, to find the Father. When we're Sabbathing, we're stressed. There's so much stuff going on. Like, we want to do what we know we want to do, which is just chill for the day, but sometimes it's really hard to find that stopping or that resting or that delighting in that worship. So a thing that helps me and my family, again, and let's just get this out of the way right now. Do not, like, Instagram me with this, me telling you how I do things. Do not do the, I can't do it how he does it, I'm bad, right? And do not do the, he's not doing it the way that he should do it, he's bad. Let's not do that, right? I'm just letting you into my life of things that have helped us along the way. Can you agree not to judge me? Thank you. I appreciate that. My wife will appreciate it too. So the first thing that helps me a lot on this day where I really have a hard time and we really struggle, if we're being honest, getting things going, is we try to find the Father first, right? James 4:8 says this, come close to God and God will what? Come close to you, right? You've heard it, draw near, right? I bet you know that one. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and what you're asking for will be given to you. Look and what you're looking for you will find. Knock and the door you're knocking on will be open to you. Sabbath is a time where you can literally just devote your attention to finding God and looking for God around you. Allow yourself to remember the reverence that you've got deep down that we squish way down there because of the world stuff, and just appreciate who God is and where he's working in your life, or where he's working in this world that you see him. Right? To actually just pray, God, I'm looking for you today. Reveal yourself to me on the Sabbath. I'm fuzzy right now, right? I'm stressed right now. I'm just looking for you right now. And I'm telling you, if you do this, if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. It's a promise we have, but we're afraid of, because we feel like we have to bring so much to the table. I'm saying, for the sake of Sabbath, you have permission to be the horrible person that you are. All you have to do is draw near to God and ask God to reveal himself to you. And in doing this, when we struggle to have this Sabbath, when we struggle to stop, to rest, to delight and worship, if we can focus on finding the Father first and just paying attention to where he is, you will be shocked at what you find. I'm going to give you, again, kind of embarrassing stories, but it is what it is. I'll be transparent with you. Recently, we had a Sabbath. We have a lot of stuff going on in our house, as you can imagine. We have senior year stuff, which, like, what the heck with senior year stuff? What, there's, my son doesn't care about any of the things going on right now, and I feel like we've, like, already spent, like, college tuition for 5 years on banners and lunches and all that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. If you don't have a kid, if you have a kid, senior year, get ready. It's a lot. So there's lots of stuff senior year. My daughter's in sixth grade. I don't know if you guys know this, but sixth grade girls are the worst. They are the worst. They are so mean and hateful and ugly, and I can't understand it. And they all have phones, and they're on their phones all the time. And you can't have a phone at school, but they can have their phone at school. And they're vaping at school. I know, public school kids, this is what happens, right? So we've got all of this stuff going on. My daughter is really, really, really struggling in sixth grade. It's a real problem. My first grader is basically the mayor of her school, so she's cool. But like, my sixth grader, we're having some stuff. So a lot of my time, and when I say a lot, I mean all of my time, has just been me stressing and strategizing and praying and working for my daughter to work through these issues she's had. How do we deal with these people? How do we not to be ugly back? How do we keep from punching someone in the face? What do we do if someone punches us in the face? Like, all of these things that we're talking about have been major, major, major stressors in my life. Up to this Sabbath, I'm telling you, that has been total consuming. Everything we had was a strategy to attack a problem. That's all I was trying to do, was put out fires and stop the chaos while still keeping two other kids alive, staying married, and working at the church with you people, right? So it's a lot of stuff, right? It's a lot of stuff, super stressed out. I had noticed also recently leading up to the Sabbath, so I'm a physical touch, love language guy, okay? Any physical touchers? No one? Just me? There we go. I knew you were. You're always hugging me, you weirdo. All right. Now I know. So I'm a physical touch guy, and I'm affectionate with my kids. Like, we are a cuddly family. I'm a hold hands family. I am lots of hugs, carry on my shoulder. I'll carry as long as you'll let me hold you, kind of a family. That's just what we do. I love that. I had noticed that had started going away in my house, and I don't really like that. And I know I have a sixth grader, also 100% chance I'm gonna start crying today using these illustrations, so don't judge me on that either. We're going through a lot, all right? I'm not cured yet. So we've got a lot of stuff, right? Lots of things happening. I've noticed that the hand-holding and stuff has stopped with my sixth grader. And I know, like, I have a 17-year-old son. Like, I know the independent stuff starts. We start to pull away a little. It starts to get harder and harder. They don't want you to tuck them in anymore. Like, that just becomes part of it. And it's hard, and it stinks, and I know that's coming. It felt like it kind of came all of a sudden. And so I was just really stressed about it. And I noticed that, and that was a thing. It's important for this, as we get into these other illustrations, that you know I was not in a great place with my kids. I was trying to fix everything, and my heart was in the right spot for trying to get things taken care of, but there was a disconnect with me, and specifically with my girls, specifically with my 11-year-old. So as we're going on a walk, which we do on Sabbath, it's a great way to kickstart the Sabbath, is just to get out of nature. Nature is crazy. It is awesome. It is wonderful to be in. Fresh air, vitamin D, trees. You ever look at leaves on trees? Like, they're crazy. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much stuff out there that we go on this walk, and I'm just praying on this walk. God, just reveal to me. I want to see you. Show me where you're at somewhere. You know what I mean? And so, like, sometimes that we've done that and it's been like trees are crazy. Like, what is wind? You know what I mean? Like, God, like, you're so amazing. You're so everywhere. Because I know he's everywhere. I just forget to look. And so on this day of Sabbath, I'm trying to just look for God and show me somewhere specific God. Right? So we're walking. My girls are in front of me. Guess what God revealed to me? You have kids that I have given you and blessed you with. Appreciate these kids. I'm in the middle of that, right? Great, I've already started crying. I'm in the middle of that. So for that day, I committed to just paying attention to my kids and just not fixing anything that day and just looking at them in their eyeballs and asking them questions and talking about what they wanted to talk about. That is pretty effective. I have an next door neighbor. He's back here right now. His name is Matt. Matt is a giant. If you leave, you will see him. He's gigantic. Matt is such a good dad. I learned a lot from watching Matt parent his kids because Matt gets at his kids' level. Like, when Matt talks, Matt is a giant. He has tiny children, right? When Matt talks to his kids a lot of time, good or bad, Matt gets down on a knee and just goes eye to eye with them. That is a good dad right there, right? Like, he listens to his kids. Sorry, Matt, I don't know if I was, you didn't know I was gonna talk about you today. I hope that's okay. I hope you're not mad that I said you were a good dad. So I want to be a good dad. I want that. And I was missing that. And so when I pray, God, reveal where you are in my life, I see God in my children. And this simply happening by me looking for the Father, by trying to find the Father. It's not this separate thing that we do life and God is over there. We want God involved. He is involved. We just have to pay attention that he is all around us. And sometimes we just have to look. And Sabbath is like a cheat code of a day where that's all you can care about if you want. It's just paying attention to where God is. It's so necessary. It's so refreshing. If you want to stop and rest and delight and worship our Creator and find that communion with God, I encourage you to just find him in your daily life, especially on Sabbath. The next thing is this: experience the kingdom. This is weird. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else, right? How do you know it? Seek ye first. You know the song. You guys want to sing it? No, I won't sing it. Larry's the only singer here, okay? So we talk about this all the time of experiencing the kingdom. And I said it recently. I don't know exactly what heaven is or looks like. What I'm pretty confident in studying the Bible is that it's not just a place far away that we only experience when we die. I think there's too much evidence in the Bible that proves that otherwise, that the kingdom of earth is here. Listen to this passage here. Luke 17:20-21, it says, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you. Your King James Version said within you, right? Within you kind of contains that. If you start to dive into the Greek of this world, it really means like within you, within your grasp, among you. You get to be like this active participant. It's an experience within your reach, the kingdom of heaven, right? N.T. Wright says this. He says, your cooperation is used by God to bring God's sovereign rule. You get to be a participant in the kingdom of God. We just have to kind of stop and pay attention to the moments where this kingdom is happening, because it's happening all around us. We just miss it so much, right? And we want to experience that kingdom. We want to experience the fullness of God. We want to get a glimpse of the taste of what it's going to be like someday when it feels like that all of the time. When we say, you know, experience the kingdom, that's what we're after. You can't manufacture the moments. You just have to allow them to present themselves and be in a space where you can receive them happening. And being busy 24 hours a day is not where it's happening. It's not. Being stressed all of the time is not where it's at. And I'm not curing stress or anxiety, but I am saying if we can create some space for these moments to happen, I think you will be shocked at how much you realize the kingdom is here. And this starts when we start to look and find the Father and see that he is all around us, right? A lot of us experience this idea of experiencing the kingdom here at church sometimes when it's like, man, it's just like a feeling that we have. You can't manufacture it, but it just happens. Like we're all in it for the same reasons. We're all messed up. We're all imperfect, but there is this great big God. There's this unifying factor amongst us, and we can feel the kingdom of God around us. The kingdom of heaven is not something that we're just waiting to happen someday. The kingdom is now. We want to try to experience that kingdom. We want to try to do it every day, as our mission statement says. But again, this is like a cheat code for you just to devote time, to remove work, to remove stress, to remove sports, to remove technology, to remove fantasy football. All of those things are gone. We're just focusing on finding the Father. And through that, I believe you can start to experience the kingdom. One of our very first Sabbath that we did went amazing. It was so cool. I can't explain it. I cannot give you words. You cannot study on what this feels like when you experience the kingdom. I can't explain it to you. You have to experience. It's why it's an experience, right? I'm not just giving you a definition. It's an experience. But we had it. And I can't pinpoint exactly what it was, but I can tell you the next night, my 11-year-old, she could not sleep. We have some trouble sleeping sometimes. And so we've got like our little routine, we've got a breathing routine, we've got all the things, like we've got like, this is what we normally do. She wouldn't fall asleep, couldn't fall asleep. So I said, okay, her name's Elle. So I said, Elle, I want you to do this. This was the day after Sabbath. I said, I want you to do this. I want you to close your eyes, right? Ooh, here it comes. And I want you to just think about yesterday, right? Think about Sabbath. And I want you just to think about the feeling that you have right now, just thinking about the feeling that you had on Sabbath. Can you do that? And she's like, yeah, I can do that. And I was like, do you feel like how it's like this like weightless, like joyful, just like exploding feeling of just awesomeness? Can you feel that? You remember what that felt like yesterday? And she said, yeah. And I said, that's the kingdom of heaven. That's it. That's experiencing the kingdom. And we hold on to these moments as we trudge through this mess of the world. And we don't lose hope, because our hope is not in us fixing things. Our hope is in our Creator, right? And we forget that a lot. And those moments of the kingdom are so important to recall. So if we want to stop and we want to rest and delight and worship our Creator, and we want to find communion with God, find Him in your walk with Him on Sabbath, and allow space for His kingdom to be present around us through those areas where you have found Him. And sometimes I'm telling you, we're so wiped out and we're so hard, and I'll get into next week of like what it actually looks like for us to Sabbath, like what, like I'll give you the day, what it looks like for us. But sometimes, some of you are just so, ugh, like you're just so uptight and wound so tight that Sabbath really, like the way where you might experience God the most or be able to experience God the most is just through a nap. You know what I mean? Like a Sabbath nap is the greatest thing of all time. There is nothing greater than a Sabbath. If you can go to sleep without being and just saying like, I don't care about work. I don't care about kids stuff. I don't care how our house looks. I don't care about finances. God, I'm going to sleep. I love you. Thank you for breath. Amen. Go to sleep. If you can take that nap, nothing like it. You'll want to do it all the time. You'll be like a bear. You'll become addicted. It'll just happen all the time. You'll want to do it. So there's different ways to do it. There's different ways to experience the kingdom. Again, we're just kind of giving you some tips here to help get you there, some tactics along the way. The last thing is this, to look more like Jesus. Now, obviously, if I ask you, do you want to look like Jesus? You're going to probably say yes, right? You're going to say yes. And I understand that, right? Ephesians 4:21 says this, since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Ephesians 5 tells us, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you're His dear children. Philippians 2:1-5 tells us, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from His love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by greeting wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. We have God came to earth, right, as Jesus. He sent His Son Jesus for us. And He lived this perfect life. And He lived this life perfectly by being in total communion with God. And it's really difficult to do. But we want to model our life to try to get as close as we get to Him. Not so that we can go to heaven, but because we get to go to heaven. And we want other people to see that. And we want to experience that kingdom here on earth now. So we want to find the Father. We want to experience the kingdom. And we want to look more like Jesus. On Sabbath, amazingly, you don't have to try that hard. If you can get in the headspace of this day is not about the other things. I mean, honestly, so we have four things. We'll talk about these next week. No work, no worry, no want, no whining, right? Take out those four things of your life and let me know how much left you have to talk about, right? It's not a lot. So there is space for God. When we take those things away, we take away a lot of stress and pressure and anxiety and kind of those fruits of the Spirit. Remember the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that empowered Jesus, empowers us as believers of Jesus. And so love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. That was really fast. Self-control, I'm sorry. I talked too fast sometimes. That's there. We want that to start pouring out of us. That's what we want to come out of us. And the amazing thing about if you can kind of use this Sabbath as like this cheat day for communion with God is you start to see Jesus coming out of you and how you act and how you're talking to each other, because you're not stressed about this thing and you're not trying to fix this thing and we're not whining about where we're going to eat and we're not fighting about how the house looks, right? We're not doing that. So I'm telling you, this is like, if you expect every day to find the Father, experience the kingdom, and look more like Jesus, like we ask you to do, if you can't do it on Sabbath, it's not happening on the other six. Because Sabbath is truly the day that is the only focus you have, is to make those things accomplished through stopping, resting, delighting in worship, and just finding that communion with God. Does that make sense? That's hard. Was that mean? It wasn't meant to be mean. But it's like this amazing thing. You are created in the image of who? God. We want that image to come out. It's there. There is a longing for God inside of you. That communion is a longing that we have. Again, I think we do a wonderful job of suppressing that way deep down inside, where we don't let that manifest itself ever in coming out. So we're looking like Jesus is just like such a chore, because there's so many things in the way. What we want to get to is where we want that oozing out of us. Sabbath is a great day to practice that happening. We're trying to stopping and resting and growing and delighting. Delighting and worshiping. We're trying to do those things. Looking like Jesus is just a cool way that that can happen. And so I'm going to give you this illustration also. Okay? The same day, I'm devoted to just like paying attention to my kids, right? I'm just going to pay attention to my girls. And that day, I'm just talking to them a lot. I'm looking at them a lot. Like I'm just listening to them. It's weird, right? Like I didn't say anything. I'm just listening. What do you guys want to talk about? What do you guys want to play? You know what I mean? Where do you want to go on our walk? Like, what do you want to do when you get older? What do you think Jesus is? I'm just asking them questions and just listening to them, not correcting them, not telling them no, actually, right? We're not making those corrections. We're just listening to them. And so the day had kind of wound down. And so remember I told you, like I was having a lot of issues with them kind of feeling distant from me. I could feel my girls looking at me differently that day. And that sounds weird, but I can, and in like a really nice way. Like they were looking at, have you guys ever seen the movie Hook? Do you remember the movie Hook? Raise your hand if you do. Okay. Look, okay. So I'm assuming if you're my age or older, you've seen Hook, or you took your kids to see Hook, or you saw it, right? If you're younger, it's a movie about Robin Williams. He's in it. He's Peter Pan. Grown up, okay? And he doesn't know that he was Peter Pan. And he goes back to Neverland because Hook, I'm getting way deep into the plot. Anyways, he goes into, and anyways, Dustin Hoffman. So we've got Hook, takes Robin Williams' kids, who's actually Peter Pan's kid. Peter Pan goes back to Neverland. He doesn't know he's Peter Pan. He meets the Lost Boys, and he's like, I'm here to see my kids. I don't know what's going on. They're saying, we think you're Peter Pan. They're not sure. All this stuff happens. There's this scene, and you might remember it, where this little boy goes up to him, to Peter Pan, and he's like squishing his face around, and he's like looking at him, and then he like stops, and he's like, there you are, Peter. You remember that? He's like, I see you. You're in there. I see you in there. It's behind lots of stuff, but I see you in there. I am telling you, on that day of Sabbath, when I was simply trying to just be with my kids, it's like my kids said, whoops, there you are, Dad. You haven't been around in a while, but I see you now. And I've been dad that's been fixing, so I have been there. But what they were looking for was that dad that looks like Jesus. Does that make sense? Ooh. So as that happened, we're in the car, and my daughter, Elle, reaches over. And she grabs my hand. And she holds it the same way her mom has held my hand since she was 16 years old. There you are, Peter. There you are, Dad. And it wasn't anything amazing I did, because I didn't do anything that day. I didn't do anything amazing that day. You'd be shocked to see how little I did that day, right? What happened was they started to see Jesus through me. That's what we're after. We want to look like Jesus. Sabbath gives us space to find the Father and to experience the kingdom. And through that, allowing Jesus and his character to come through us, through that spirit that is deep inside of us that we push down. Let Sabbath be a day to be a cheat code for you to find communion with God. God delights in us when we delight in him. Sabbath is simply a day of choosing to do that. And again, do not separate your family from God. right? This idea, John Mark Comer talks about this, like we want our life to orbit around God. Like it's not like this thing where it's like, okay, we're communing with God now, everyone in the car. Like we're, it's not, we're, like it's a part of, like it's a part of everything that we do. We want to have community with God. We want communion with God. That's what we're after. We want that every day. That's the ultimate goal at the end of the day, at the end of the world. That is the goal. That's what's going to accomplish. We want to get there. But it's really hard when we've got our stressful lives, so we find this cheat code through Sabbath as a strategy to help us get there. And in Sabbath, we focus on stopping and resting and delighting in worship, and a way to help us get those things accomplished is if we find the Father, if we experience the kingdom, and if we look more like Jesus. That's all I have for this week. No more tears from Mike today. What I would encourage you to do is really pay attention to this idea of Sabbath. Really give this a chance. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't, according to the world. With your schedule right now, this does not make sense. There is a very good chance something will have to be given up. You know what we've had to do some? Listen to this. Skip games. Yeah, I said it. We've done it. It's been so hard. And I'll say this again next week. I'll touch on this more. But like for us, it's important for us to see that the spiritual parts of our life are a priority. I'm a sports guy. There's no one more sporty than me. I played sports. I played baseball till I was about 23. I coached in college in a couple different levels. I've coached the high school level, middle school level. I recently started coaching softball. Girls are way more fun than guys, if you didn't know. Like, they're the best. I love coaching. I love coaching. I coach everything. I'm coaching flag football right now. Like, we've got so, I love, love, love sports. And I think sometimes it's okay. We've got the tournament. We got to miss Sunday. I think it's okay. I think we can deal with that. I think it's fine to say sometimes we're going to make it as though like the sport is the priority for this weekend, with good conversations, what we're doing during the week to kind of make sure we keep God a priority. But I also think it's important sometimes to say God is the priority, so we're skipping the sport this weekend. Not a popular opinion. I noticed no one clapped when I said that. We'll get into that, but it's important. You're going to have to give something up. I can't give you the extra day. I can't say here's the eighth day, go Sabbath. Right? You got to figure that part out for yourself. I encourage you to go back to these past 4 weeks if you haven't listened to them all, and listen to ways that can help you get into that space where you can practice Sabbath. Give God a chance. Just give God a chance. And I'm not saying you launch into 24 hours. Our Sabbaths right now are like 5 hours. Like that's that, and that's embarrassing. I could see some judgment in some of your faces. That's where we are. But it's a beautiful 5 hours. And again, someday I'm going to get to 24 and I'm working towards it. And I think God's probably okay with me saying we're working towards it, God. We can't quite do it yet, but I'm looking for communion during this time that I'm devoting to you. Don't you think? And I think the same can be said for you too. So don't say, I can't do 24 hours, therefore I can't Sabbath. Say, what can I do for Sabbath? And figure that out. Find the Father, experience the kingdom, look more like Jesus. Practice that on Sabbath. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this group. Thank you for the opportunity to get to speak. Man, thank you for sending your son for us. Thank you for making it to where all we have to do is call on his name and we are saved. And we are with you and we are in, and our imperfections and our messes and our sins are forgiven. And you see us as these perfect saints. And we struggle sometimes to see ourselves that way. And God, we just pray, using the model that you sent through Jesus, through the words that he said and the actions that he took, that we can choose to model our life to look like his. God, with this strategy of Sabbath, give us the courage to try it. Give us the courage to shed away the world for some period of time and just focus in on resting in you and delighting in you and worshiping you by stopping what we're doing in our life. And God, made this tool to look for you, to find you in all the things that we do. Ring true with folks here today. Let that truly be the desire of their heart, is just to seek you in their Sabbath. Lord, and through that, may we experience your kingdom here on earth, in our living room as it is in heaven. Let us experience that, Lord. And God, through that, I pray that spirit that's inside us, the fruit of that spirit that is inside of us, will just start to ooze out of us to those around us. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for loving us, even though we're such a mess. And we thank you for today. We thank you for this day. We thank you for being here in this moment. We see you here today, God, and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.